Hey guys, welcome back to the Thumbs Up Cast. My name is Joey.
And I'm Rhodes.
And today we have some new stuff to talk about.
So basically we're going to try and do a themed season. The original working concept for this was witchcraft and whiskeys. I would be we found a book and I was going to talk about it. Joseph was going to do stories about whiskey since he's starting to get into that. And let's just jump straight into that.
Yeah, so we're going to have first an introduction, correct?
What do you mean a first introduction?
Well, we're going to have an introduction.
Sir, let me start.
Okay.
Don't be jumping me off.
I'm not jumping
here at the curve. So first, we want to acknowledge our source material. Pretty much everything or the majority of the stuff we're going to be going through from the season will be coming from this book. It is called A History of Magic, Witchcraft, and the Occult, written by Professor Susanna Lipscomb, consulted by Dr. Sophie Page, and contributions from Thomas Cussons, John Fardun, Anne Key, and Philip Parker. Not Anne, and. So basically this book's going to be talking mostly about that stuff throughout the ages, not really how to do anything. It's just talking about the idea of it and how people thought it worked, how it worked in different cultures, all the way up to modern times. It's gonna go through, you know, different cultures, continents, time, yada yada, and we're gonna talk about that. And as Joey said, we'll be starting with a rough summary of the introduction, which I will get into now.
Yeah, let's do it.
You ready for this?
I'm so fucking ready.
You're ready to be introduced to it.
I've never been reintroduced so hard.
You're about to. You get ready. So, basically, as we began to become aware of our environment and, you know, just like there's trees, there's water, there's weather, there's night and day, we started to project our thoughts and intentions onto it. That's called anthropomorphism. Also, animism is the other word for it. Basically, the idea that there's spirits inside everything affecting everything. And of course, you know, our environment played an important part in our daily lives. You want to control that, and you think that everything around you has some type of intelligence in it. You want to communicate with it. So some people will try to do that personally. Some cultures formed like shamans. The early forms of religion were based in there. And as our cultures began to structure themselves into full-on societies and have hierarchy, that was reflected in the spirit world. So, you know, the idea that there's stronger spirits controlling over lesser spirits was reflected from, like, you know, there's kings, there's dukes, there's, you know, high chiefs, low chiefs, and then, like, everybody in between with different jobs. And also, a lot of early jewelry, and to this day, jewelry, clothes was thought to have special magic properties or connections to the spirit world. So, you know, the idea that if you had clothes made out of certain animal skins, you could gain strength or traits from that animal. If you wore jewelry with beads on it from a certain space, that would have you be connected to that area. You know, the early ideas of you know, having an amulet from a spot that had like a strong connection to your homeland, and you could take it with you and you'd have the protection of your homeland with you. Also, the beginning of sympathetic magic. Now, that's an actual term. It's the idea that curative substances should resemble the ailment that they treated. So, like a yellow potion for jaundice, and this is throughout every culture around the world. Basically, dick-shaped stuff was affected your dick. That's the one that comes up the most often.
Really?
Other things, like, you know, if it was shaped like a kidney, a heart, or an eye, I don't think people looked into each other's guts that much, but it was the idea that if it, you know, had something that reminded you of a part of something,
mm-hmm.
that it could affect that. And the idea that strong-smelling stuff had, like, stronger potency, that's where we get a lot of that stuff today. That's the rough introduction to it of just where the idea, quote unquote, of magic comes from. So let's jump into it real quick.
Yeah. So that part that you mentioned, where something that resembles it is supposed to, like, treat it. What do you mean, like fruits or?
No, not fruits. Everything. Literally everything. Okay. That you'd find in nature, and also parts from other animals. So if you had something with your hand, a lot of times that's when they'd cut off a paw, use it for the a hand related stuff.
Holy shit.
You know, a horn shaped like a guy's wang, same thing. All of those things were connected. It was parts of animals, rocks, tree, fruits, vegetables, herbs, spices, the whatnots.
Okay.
If something smelled like kind of footy, then you could use it for a foot treatment. It was being familiar with that plant that lets you know exactly how to use it for that treatment. So that's where you'd start getting shamans in eventually, and other magicians figuring out like, oh, this is connected to this. And when writing started coming into play, even words had special powers into them. So there's like examples of clay tablets from every country, every place that created clay and a writing system. They'd write stuff down, it would have magical properties. I'm talking like the Mayan codexes, ancient Chinese writings, the Greeks. You'd put it down, your intentions and your thoughts, basically writing out your prayer. And then sometimes there'd be other connections into it, maybe putting certain symbols that were connected to the powers or spirits that you want to communicate with. So, you know, you write out what you want, you do some doodles or maybe write it on some skin of like the animal spirit you wanted it connected to. And then, you know, the rest of it was whatever your culture dictated or the shaman who told you to do it that way decided, you know. As it grew, it became more complicated.
Yeah. So you would say that like, since everything has its own spirit in this magical world, that to be able to supernaturally, I guess, control that energy and other things is like a broad estimation of what is magic. Extent,
because we're talking about magic throughout the world, and it's all very different. But basically, yeah, whatever seems like it's connected to something would be connected to it. So, you know, you're walking out in a field and you slip on something, there's a rock there, oh, that's connected from an evil spirit. And you're just like, you basically write a little story in your head. Okay. You tell other people, this rock tripped me, it's part of a trickster god. And they'd be like, that sounds right. Okay, so keep an eye out for those. Now, if it was like, it turned out to be a shell from like a little, you know, crab or something, now all of a sudden that trickster god is connected to that snail, and it just builds. It usually would start with something small. And I mean, we're all going off guesstimates because this is talking mostly prehistory stuff.
Yeah.
The evidence we have from these things is from burial sites, you know, so we're sort of doing it ourselves. We're pushing our interpretations and ideas on what we found left over from them, because from people who had before, there was writing systems developed, or at least ones that we understood. The ones that we are most familiar with are the people who had writing systems.
Okay.
So even though I'm simplifying it for the people who didn't write down their day-to-day, they might have had way more intricate stories and like pathways and stuff and certain things. A structure to do things like the way the Egyptians, like they had high priests, magicians who had a whole long list of things to do before you died and after you died, and you had to follow them step by step in order to have a good outcome in the afterlife.
Oh, okay. So you feel like all of that ties into magic?
It does. I mean, it's all magical thinking, and you could say it ties into everything. It's
do you
all,
feel like it's a way of thinking? Magic is a way
there's
of thinking?
A thing. Have you heard of the term magical thinking?
Mm-mm.
So basically, it's very basically the idea that it's what people with OCD have, but people without OCD could do it too. The idea that little actions throughout your day could affect the outcome indirectly or directly indirectly. Okay. So, you know, you want good stuff to happen. You align your pick up shiny stuff or things of value. You put them in a little altar that's connected to something spiritually connected to you. And you expect there to be something good to happen later on in the future, even though it's not directly connected to it.
Yeah.
For me, magic thinking and the whole magical system, a part of it's like just something to kind of comfort you. Another one is people genuinely trying to get an effect. And sometimes it is just cultural. I'm sure way back in the day, there was people who were like, I don't believe this. I just want to go hunting and gathering and come back. But I guess y'all guys say I need a necklace to do it. Otherwise, you know, Ogobogo, the freaking clam demon, is going to like trip me while I'm chasing down
Greg
a deer.
Greg needs a special hat whenever he goes out hunting and gathering.
You need the special hat. Yeah. You got to have those things. Like, great. Now, the benefit to that was some of those plants and herbs did end up having special properties that's how medicine got invented.
Potions,
yeah. The idea that, oh, there's a trickster god, you got to watch out. Maybe that hunter who was even, you know, not a believer did think, you know what, my friend did trip over a rock pretty bad. Maybe I should keep an eye out for him. There seems to be a lot here. So he was a little more careful. So it helped structure and shape our societies.
Yeah, I didn't realize how much it has a tie in the way of thinking now.
Yeah, I mean, it's everywhere. That's why I think whether you're a believer or not, it's important to look through to sort of see where we come from and like how our thoughts and things are shaped. There's the whole idea of like power stances and certain colors that you know, are stronger. You know, red has a more, in this, our culture, and what is it? Red can mean angry. It can mean passionate here in Western cultures. In Japan, those red is associated with, like, I think luck, if I'm wrong, right or wrong, China specifically. So, yeah. And other places, it's a bad luck color.
Yeah. And it's crazy because it does actually, they've shown that different colors, different things can affect your moods. They can affect the way you think.
But that makes me wonder, though, is it because we're programmed something like, oh, there was red colored stuff was poisonous back in the day and we have a strong association with it? Or is it because for so long we've believed these things, it's starting to affect us genetically? We're shaping ourselves around our belief because, you know, thoughts, I don't know. I'm probably wrong. I'm an idiot. Who cares? But I'm not. And you have to believe everything I say. So on that thought, what are your thoughts on, like, I mean, because, you know, without religious background, other people doing like spells and magic and stuff, do you think that has an effect on things like spiritual world? Do you think real, unreal?
I feel like it's real to
it
a
ain't
certain,
provable.
It's real to an extent. I feel like magic itself is just something that it's never going to be achieved to understand it. You know, it's like the distance from how far, like the universe, whenever it ends, we're going to keep going and it feels like it's never going to end because we're always going to have something new to look for. Like towards, you know what I mean? Like in the past, if I brought a computer in the past, it would look like magic. I mean, it was something that was so
like different. No,
different, not
that
ordinary. And so from now, I feel like it's just something in the future that we're not going to understand until we do understand it, magic? And then it's not going to be magic.
Yeah, basically the idea, what is it, that it's magic until it's medicine, you know, and then it's like it's not special anymore.
Yeah, so like just bring in like a telescope, and or I don't even know because I don't know how long ago the telescope was invented, but like
you
a computer
should.
Or
yeah,
like
they
a,
taught that in school, but
like a phone, like a cell phone.
I know, man. That is this movie. I think it was called Black Knight, and it was about a guy who traveled into medieval times, and he like turned on a lighter to be like, ah, I have the power of fire, and he thought he was gonna freak everybody out, and they're just like, we've got fire, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like, who knows, man? Maybe sometimes people do just need to be told things are magical. Yeah. Like maybe if you did take a telescope back to like, you know, prehistoric times, who knows? Maybe you'd be, maybe they'd be like, oh, this is incredible. Or maybe they'd get the gist of like, oh, okay, this is like how whenever there's a fish underwater, it looks bigger from the top. But, you know, whenever I actually pull it out, it's not that big. It's just something with like the way things look. I was like, okay, maybe they could vaguely figure it out. Maybe you'd go to the past and you'd find out like everybody can see that far. What are you talking about, idiot? Are you blind?
Or like manipulating molecules and stuff like that. I mean, they're making new substances and all that stuff. That's magical. I mean, to think about they're
it.
Making something out of nothing.
What if, all right, I'm gonna throw in a conspiracy pill. Can I throw it in there?
Throw it.
They're not. They're actually magicians saying that it's science. That's why they make it so hard. And then they're just like colors with this magic properties, you know, freaking uranium.
Yeah,
it's like, no, it's they just put demons inside the rocks that eat you alive, and they're like, oh, it's just it's radiation levels, that's all it is.
Yeah,
and it's like whenever you release them all at once, they destroy everything around them, you know? They're just like, they're just really good magicians.
It could be
lying,
man.
About science.
Yeah, where
all of the original magicians were really good scientists lying about it, and now all of the scientists are really good magicians lying about it being science. Everyone's just a liar.
Yeah,
really. Yeah,
of course.
I don't believe them, man. But
do you believe in magic?
Well, okay, here's the thing. You have to decipher what type of magic. Now, there's cinematic magic where you're like throwing fireballs and moving things with your mind. And
yeah,
that's the one people want. That's the one that whenever people start actually looking into, that's what they don't want to admit it. But anybody who goes seriously, academically looking into the history of magic, they're looking on how to do that stuff. They're like, can I be the one, the chosen one, the special one to move things with my mind and shoot fireballs and control lightning and do all the cool stuff? And they find out, no, they cannot. Even back in the day, they didn't have things that would suggest that. Very rarely did they, because it's so easily disprovable. You know, that's why the statues were like, this gains the favor of a spirit, so you're likely to have a thing happen.
Yeah.
They don't have like, you know, get this stone, say these words, and you know, your enemy's head will explode. Because they had to leave the instructions kind of vague, the interaction and timetable for things to happen kind of vague, and the action to be vague. It would just be you know, maybe do something that sort of looks like a head exploding, you know, and say the words out loud. And then you got to wait for however long the spirits want to answer you. And it'll just be something bad in general happen to the person you don't like.
Yeah.
Because it's so easily testable. You know, grab the rock, say the words, and the head's not going to explode. Now, that obviously, there's the violent guy in the tribe where you just be like, grab the rock, make his head explode, smash it into his face. I like magic. And yeah. It's like, that's not magic, that's just violence. Violence is magic to me. Yeah, then, you know, then war gods were formed.
Yeah. I mean, but they're manipulating the energy.
Exactly. It's like,
killing someone.
You know, that the descendant of that guy smashing someone's face in with the rock, his descendant years later was like, Adams, how can we split them? Can we smash them into each other so hard and so fast it makes something new? And it's like, the answer was, yeah.
Yeah.
You can. Well, basically, our science is just, you know, that's the one who got us the most magic. The guy who realized you smash something into something else, things will happen. That's the line of thinking exactly. That took. You know, you get the rock, you smash it into, you know, wood and another rock, you get fire. You get the rock, you smash it into an animal, you got food. He's a genius.
Magical, I would say. Yeah. But on that note, let's take a little break and we'll be right back.
Or will we? So are you going to Google to confirm how early is a baby's... How early is cum made?
I think it's at like adolescence. Well, that's like 13.
That's the semen. But before that...
Cum is semen.
No, it's not just that. Cum's an ingredient. Like, it's cum's menudo. The semen's like, you know... The working of that corn, the pozole in it and shit.
It's the
comes like the whole idea of it. It's cum is like for soup. It can be anything. Like chicks can come. They don't have sperm. Chicks make menudo, guys make menudo. Everybody uses different ingredients.
Stop calling it menudo.
Okay. Potluck. I don't know. What's another a gumbo? Does gumbo work?
Yeah, sure.
All right, yeah. There's some shrimp-flavored gumbo. There's some beef-heavy gumbo.
Let me get a towel so you can wipe off all that gumbo.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, guys. Welcome back.
When you're enjoying the Cajun cooking too much. So, okay. Next part we're going to get into is the general... That was laying the groundwork for what the idea of magic is, where people get it. But... Getting more specifically into the next chapter, and when I say specifically, I mean very vaguely, the birth of ritual. You ready for this? Where now ritual, more so meaning other people are included into it.
Okay.
And one of the it's things that were, what is it? The beginning of communities, right? Hunting was one of the big ones. You know those paintings that they have like in that was in France? There's some cave paintings of like buffaloes and hands, and yes. It's like it looks really nice. Some people think that those weren't just them being artistic, and keep in mind that they're just paintings. There's no words, so we're putting a lot of our own magic thinking on it.
Mm-hmm.
That originally they're like, this is them, you know, showing what they did in their daily life.
Yeah.
Some people think that that might have been magic, that whenever they showed, you know, a little guy throwing a spear into, you know, the giant bull or whatever, that was them projecting, this is what I want to happen. You know, whenever they have all those depictions of hands on him, it's not just people like having fun, which it probably was. It was them like putting on and marking and saying, I'm connected to this painting of a bull getting stabbed in the face.
It's like putting out that energy.
It's like, I'm accepting this into my life, and this magic thinking. Yeah. The secret, basically. That was them connecting to it by physically touching a depiction of it, the picture.
Okay.
Also, a lot of that's why hunting gods had a lot of prominence in it. Early societies, we figured out, you know, okay, we can hunt. You could hunt a certain size or certain amount of animals to some success with your family, right? But if it's just you, you're the strongest male. Hopefully, your kid's old enough. But it's the more people you have to go hunting, the more successful you're going to be by a magnitude of I don't know what, but like, so you get all the stronger guys together and then maybe even some people from some other tribes to hunt more animals. But you need a way to kind of get everybody on the same page. And what could help with that? Some magic rituals. Get chanting. Everybody put on, like, you know, these are, you know, claws from a wolf and some wolf skin, and we're all going to wear it together, and we'll be like the wolves that we see hunt down this animal successfully. We'll take wolf spirit into us. It'll be sweet. You know, we're going to put some smoke in our face because we want to eat this. It's associated with, like, cooking the animal later, and later it'll gain other significance, and we're going to kill this thing now. All right? We all did some magic. That means we're all connected. We're all one wolf pack. Even though we're all different, you know, you're my cousins and you guys are from some hill and I hate y'all normally. We need to eat. Magic will connect us.
You guys are from some hill.
I don't like y'all. But today we're a wolf pack.
Yeah.
We're all to join.
It brings people together.
Dude, that's exactly what it was for. Another one of the early things that was real big with magic rituals were fertility rituals. You got to have kids to have a future.
There's still fertility rituals. I feel like there's a lot of them.
Yeah, the idea of all these things you do to get your seed strong, the to women to stay fertile, and it's like, we know there's nothing you could do, really. Yeah. You know, it's like even the whole the stuff like, well, they say if you eat this fruit, then it could help increase sperm count or whatever. But the thing is, that's your issue. Honestly, if you're having trouble having a kid, you have to go to the doctor and figure out what your specific issue is. One of the big things changing from medicine to, or going from magic to medicine, was realizing it's not just, okay, this thing is associated with what I want and I put it into me. Medicine was saying like, okay, you have an issue. What's that specific issue causing that? Because you have so many different things that could affect one thing. Yep. I mean, a fever means nothing. It means what you have. Something's wrong and your body's trying to cook it off. You need specific medicines to treat those things. And it's like, you can kind of guess, because you could walk into any store, go to a pharmacy, and it's like, this is for fever. But it's like, what is it really treating? If you want to know, you got to go to a doctor where they're going to lie to you and be wrong anyway, because C's get degrees. I hate doctors. They're expensive anyway.
Oh, my God. I'm
trust
sorry.
No one.
They're all magicians, they and are. I hate them.
I know, man. They have they use the seal of, what is it, that snake wrapped around that thing?
Oh, yeah.
The symbol of Mercury or whatever. The symbol of, what is it, for treatments. That was for, there's supposedly towns or along the roadway. There'd be a stick, and they'd have like a snake symbol or whatever wrapped around it. And the idea was like, oh, you get bitten by a snake, you touch it, you can be, you know, cured. Because snakes were a problem for travelers. Also, Jesus did that. He made a stick, put it somewhere, and if you touched it, like it was anti-venom.
What, really?
Look it up in the Bible. And also, so that's like there. That's where the idea of doctors and medicine and treating everybody comes, because anybody could go touch the snake stick, you know. Yeah. But also, I think that's the symbol of Mercury or something, because they use the wrong symbol a lot of times, and Mercury. The god that symbol is associated with is the god of thieves. What does that mean? Illuminati, that's what. My digression, fertility. So there's a lot of figurines that if you see a guy figuring and his, you know, the statue or the painting, and it's got like a huge wang, that usually meant that it was a male's fertility ritual to help you have a kid or a boy or a kid, like changing the gender, how strong they're going to be. A lot of female fertility deities tended to be depicted, drawn, made out of clay or whatever, and they tended to have exaggerated hips and larger breasts. That was what they associated with motherhood. Now, there's a thing that a lot of fertility statues and stuff, a good amount of them, seem to not have heads. Now, in the book, it says that could be so that any woman could project themselves onto it.
Oh, okay.
But whenever they were, they found, you've seen those little statues, they're real simply made with ridiculously big hips and stomach, and so... That was whenever they find them all over the place. It's like they're super common. So everybody thought, well, this must mean that this was a very popular religion or belief in the area. One of the later or more recent digs that they had finally some female archaeologists. There wasn't that many back in the day. There's starting to be a lot more now, thanks to the show Bones, ironically, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like apparently it's a pretty popular field for women. I also heard that Jurassic Park caused a lot more female anthropologists, or people who dig in the dirt and look at the past. I forgot what their job is. Is it anthropologist? No. I'm wrong. Don't know. Don't care. If you know, email us at bigger...
what a plug.
Let us know. Yeah, that... what is it? BiggerThumbsUp@gmail.com? Yeah. Let us know. Tell us we're wrong. Anyway...
You can buy our merch.
Buy our merch. Donate to us. We'll set up a Patreon in a few years. Whatever. So, there was women on the dig. They find some of these statues, and they noticed that... Whenever you hold them, like right in front of yourself, to them, it looked like how a woman sees her body whenever she's developing the baby, like throughout the months. And because different statues, whenever you looked at them, they seemed like they weren't just randomly shaped different because different people made them, that it seemed to show the progression of pregnancy.
Oh, okay.
So a new theory, one that I like a lot better, is that, you know, they made those so that they could track the progression so they can kind of guess whenever... there, because they didn't have a formal calendar system. Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter, like, oh, you're gonna have the baby in June. It's look at the statues, you know, see where you're at, and then whenever it matches up, then you know that's about how big your breasts will get, that's how big your stomach will be, and that's when the baby's likely to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, it's like, that makes sense to
me. That makes a lot more sense.
Ironically, yeah, taking the magic, we were projecting magic onto our ancestors when really it's like, okay, this is what they're being scientific. They just made a calendar. They just made a freaking calendar. It's like, wow. What if there was no, what if magic was invented like pretty recently? Like maybe 2,000 years max. And before that, people were just like really logical. They're like, oh, this, let's see what this does. You know, bite it, taste it. That's what their penal system was maybe. You did something bad to our tribe, you're going to be the one who tests everything. We're going to cook something. I was like, all right, we're going to cook it as much as we can. You can have some. If it doesn't kill you, great. And then we're going to cook it less and less and less. And then we find out what the right cooking temperature is for something until you die or get parasites or diarrhea.
Is karma considered magic?
Everything that's not science is magic.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, because I think
pretty much, with I karma, said it like putting a jerk,
out,
but yeah.
Putting out that energy that you're going to get back.
Anything that can't be measured with a ruler is magic. Yeah, basically.
This dick.
I mean, there's a, hold up. I forgot, what are the things smaller than a, get out of the microscope joke? I don't know.
Telescope.
Telescope. No, that would be further. Just rip it off, throw it in while you're in outer space, and let's see if I can hit the moon.
Yeah.
And the moon, we're going to find, when we get there, it's just covered in dicks.
It's not a cheese moon, back, it's a dick moon.
Yeah, because like, that's how you know that the moon was closer to Earth back in the day, because it's just covered in stuff that we threw on it. Science.
Wow.
For real, man. Anywho, back to fertility. Yeah. That was my main thing. To tie it up, though, I'm slightly more serious, was burial rites. The whole thing of, instead of just leaving a body out there to get eaten, which some religions do, there's people from the desert, all right? Yeah. They built these big towers where they put bodies up there so vultures could eat them so that they could take their souls up to heaven. They did that because they still had ritual around it. But for the most part, we don't think that people had an idea of an afterlife whenever they were leaving corpses just around. It wasn't until there's intentional signs of burying, which is, you could tell because I guess they can measure dirt, like this skeleton is so many hundreds of years old, but the dirt around it is thousands, which means they dug it up, put it in there, and also how it's positioned. You know, they didn't just chonk it down into the ground. They tended to be laid down with care, sometimes wrapped up and put with some of their life possessions, things that would have been valuable to whoever buried them, but instead of taking them with them, chose to sort of see that this person might still have an afterlife, something else happening, even though they're dead, a connection to it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the thing is, whenever people started thinking that, we believe, because you couldn't ask them back then, that since they gave everything a spirit, they gave so much weight and power to the spirit world that when you died and became a part of the spirit world, you became more powerful. That would explain why Egypt's, like, their whole culture was centered around dying, because they believed that's the only time anybody could become real powerful. Like, you could be a peasant in the street, but if they didn't bury you right, you could come back and haunt somebody, unless they, like, got a, you know, a shaman or someone to, like, do a curse on you, or you had to bury a statue in front of your house, do things to protect you from the evil spirits that you pissed off while you were alive, but they were alive. I thought that, and obviously too, so we have these rituals to keep the spirits under control or to give them a good life afterwards. It also helped us helped people mourn together in groups. You know, when someone died, it was a big event because something spiritual is happening. This person's going into the spirit realm. Other people would come and, you know, not just... It basically, condolences, right? Like, the idea of people coming together, and it would help form a society. It's like, so you got people coming together whenever they're hunting, people coming together whenever people die, and that's where our society started to form, man. We're like, in order to live, we need to come together. In order to mourn, we need to come together. Everybody just needs to come together. That's where the power is from.
Come?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty much. And
what'd you find,
just
Joey?
Another thing to add on to it.
Not from the book, just to clarify.
Yeah, so recently, there has been some ancient coffins that have been uncovered.
You were going to say recently they discovered magic was real. Dang it.
Damn, dude. I wish, man.
They scientifically proved magic is real. What about these ancient coffins?
It's not magic.
What'd they find?
They found 50 ancient coffins, and it was in the Saqqara Necropolis.
Necropolis,
and it was found with a trove of treasures also.
What?
Yeah, so they uncovered more than 50 sarcophagi. So maybe that shows what's going to happen in 2021. It's in January, so
popping our corpses out.
Yep.
Well, here's the thing to think about. So right now, I think cremations are getting a lot more popular, right? For various reasons. But we are still, obviously, we did bury people for a long time. A lot of the way we bury people liquefies the body. And it's like the bacteria and stuff, we eat the yada yada. It's disgusting. From what I understand, the way they buried people in Louisiana. Oh, that looks pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, he's showing me a picture of one of the sarcophagi. It looks like a traditional mummy case, you know? There's a bunch of writing on the outside, and that was, you know, magical stuff.
It is crazy that it was between the 16th and 11th century, and it looks that preserved.
Well, yeah, because the desert preserves things, you know? Yeah. There's, like, not as much stuff to erode it, which is usually water, which brings me to my next point. People, whenever you buried them in a coffin in like Louisiana, they'd pop out of the ground whenever it would rain too much. So that's why they have so many above ground coffin. I don't know what the hell they're called.
Yeah.
Little above ground graves, whatever.
Really? So I did not know
if
that.
If we lose our society, those I think will be relatively protected. They'll be the easiest thing for people to find. And they're going to say that Louisiana was like the center of all culture for however many years of the Americas. And I was like, dang it, Louisians. I hate y'all. So, in summary, how do they say it for the Saints?
In summary.
No, dang it. I was going to make a comment about Louisianers, but I forgot it. Basically, that's where we're going with the show. Tell us if you like it. My name's Rhodes. You can find us on Twitter at what was our Twitter handle? I don't remember.
Thumbs Up Yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Very aggressive. Yeah, send us a tweet on there. Our DM. Well, I don't think you can DM us there. Check our Gmail. Send us any topics, ideas, anything we did wrong at biggerthumbsup@gmail.com. Is it perfect.
At biggerthumbsup?
ATBIGGER?
biggerthumbsup@gmail.com.
biggerthumbsup@gmail.com for anything, if you want to talk to us. Anyone else? Do they got to look?
I think if you can go ahead and if you want to look me up, I'm at joe_re1 on Instagram. So if you want to look me up there, and you can DM me there, so that way we can have a little bit more extra places to have comments and stuff like that. But thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys
like, share, subscribe, pound that like button.
See you guys later.
Deuces.